All righty, praise the Lord. What a wonderful anointing, huh? Thank you all for coming out on a holiday weekend, July 3rd, or the 4th of July, one of my favorite holidays, as most people know. Okay, did you hear about the person who was dyslexic, agnostic, and an insomniac? He stayed up all night long when there really was a dog. So today's July 3rd, and I got the chance to speak tonight, and I thought, okay, God, I know what I'm going to do. You know me, American history person, before the 4th of July, our founding fathers, what this country was supposed to be about, and I was all set to go, and then God changed it on me, because the Supreme Court ruled. And then this afternoon, as I was working on it, changed it again on me, so we're going to just go with the flow and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide me. But the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit has taught me about the challenges this country is headed for. And what should be a glorious holiday is going to be a challenging holiday, because the Supreme Court has ruled that the one thing that God says is an abomination to him, they have approved and condoned. And that's not good for us. Okay. And the state of California last week also said that regardless of what your religious beliefs are, they're going to force children to be vaccinated. They don't care about the First Amendment because the state here is going to say it's more powerful than the Constitution of the United States. And we look at this, there's no Christian response from any of these. There's no uproar from the Christian community. And that's a challenge for us, because it means God's going to start pulling his hand away from this country even more than it already has. But you can see the steps going back. You go back to, 1973 when the Supreme Court said it was okay to murder unborn children. There was no Christian response. You go back to 1962 and they pulled prayer out of public schools. There was no Christian response. The Christians are so complacent today, and they have been in this country, because they're comfortable. I'm sorry to say this. They got enough money, they got enough food. What happens to the people is not where they're concerned. They're just taking care of their details. And that's the challenge we have today. I asked God, well, what should the Christian response have been for getting prayer out of schools? He said the Christians should have got together and formed a bunch of private schools that they could have given the children to educate them free. And I'm thinking to myself, that would have been expensive. Before I got that out, God said, and I would have paid for it. Because think about this now. From 1962 to now, how many millions of kids have gone through school? And some of them got some teaching on Sunday, but let's be honest with you, it wasn't the greatest. Okay? Where would this country be at today if that had been taken care of? If 50 million kids, grown-ups today, baby boomers, had a Christian stronghold, would we have fewer gangs because the Christ was involved? Would we have fewer unwanted pregnancies because the girls have been taught about God, not about their emotions? But the Christians haven't had a response. Most Christians, and today there's a big grace teaching out there, God will do it all. He's in charge. I'm sorry, God gave us the charge. He gave it to us. And the Christian community is letting it down. See, all the Christian churches could have gotten together and formed some things, and they could have gotten outside their church, they were outside the 501c3, and set up some PACs and political active organizations and done something, but we didn't. And I'm as guilty as everybody I'm talking to here. It's my fault, too. I never thought about it until this week when I was doing my report. And the guy says, what about complacency? So I went and looked in the Bible. There's two places that complacency is in the Bible. The first is Proverbs 1:32. The complacency of the fools will destroy them. And then in Zebekiah, I think that's how you pronounce it, I will punish men who are settled in complacency. And that's God speaking. He doesn't want us to be complacent anymore. It's time for us to start taking charge of what we need to take charge in our lives. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go back and rewrite all the history books of everything that's been done wrong. But from this point forward, we need to be active and proactive and not reactive. He asked us what we need to do before things get set up. How do we come against something? With all due respect, the homosexual agenda is very organized, systematically planning things out. You know, it really bothers me at the fact that a Christian businessman can't say, I will not condone your sin, and they'll come against him and close him out of business. That's wrong. There's no Christian response to that either. Indiana sets a law saying the guy can at least go to court and use ritualism as defense, and they want to take it out of the United States, basically, because they're supporting the Christian's right to defend themselves in court on biblical issues. If you look at it systematically, they are cutting away every opportunity we have to support our faith in every single way. The short note is, the handwriting is on the wall for the United States. And if we don't do something to change it, it's going to be very, very challenging. Now, if you look up the handwriting on the wall, that's in Daniel 5. And the very first line says, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. Now, this is where the king took the goblets out of the temple and so forth. But the bottom line is, they went against the Lord of heaven. I can think of nothing more against the Lord of heaven than condoning what he calls an abomination. Okay? You go down to the description down here in 26. This is where Daniel's explaining to the king what that means, what the hand around the wall means. He says, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. You've been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Now, I know everything is possible for change with God. I understand that. But we got to be ready for it. We got to go with our eyes open, you know. I mean, look at the state we live in. The seventh largest economy in the world, and it can't pay its bills. 5 or 6 years ago, I was in Oxnard working. And I was involved in the Chamber of Commerce up there. And there was a person there had a $350,000 check from the state of California bounce. I'm not trying to scare anybody. This is a warning. This is a get prepared thing. Okay? But we have to rely on God, not on the California. We have to rely on God, not on the United States government. Okay? If you're trusting Social Security, plan to get off it. Okay? I'm sorry, let's be real here. If it still comes in, you don't need it, and I'm wrong, praise the Lord. But I'd rather be prepared, as my wife always says, be ready not need it, than need it and not be ready with it. Okay? Let's be ready without it. The U.S. debt today is so many trillions of dollars, every family would have to write a check for $700,000 to pay it off. That is multiple generations in the future if they balance the budget today and started working on it. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. Okay. You look at what's happened over in Europe with Greece. For those of you who don't know, Greece did not open its banks last week. They told people they could take out $66 a day out of their ATMs to live on. Greece is playing Russian roulette with the European economy. That's not a good thing. Okay. That shows you where our world is headed. All these things that are going on are serious, serious challenges. We can no longer be complainants. We must be proactive. Okay? But you know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Joseph. And Joseph was in a time when things were going to get really, really bad. And before it got really, really bad, God gave a warning. And Joseph and Pharaoh adhered to that warning. You know, I found this very, very interesting. Pastora Karen and I were watching a show one time about the pharaohs of Egypt. There was one pharaoh that believed in one God. I wonder which one that was. I think it was the one from Joseph, because he saved his whole country. Okay? I bet pharaoh's in heaven today. I bet when Christ came down, he said, ah, I got you. I receive you, man. I don't care what the rest of the king said. You know, you sent a man to me to save my country. Joseph got prepared. He did what he had to do to prepare the country. It wasn't easy. And it's not going to be easy for us. In fact, I don't know anywhere in the Bible where anything is easy, by the way. Okay? Everything is a challenge. And the biggest challenge is probably Christ going to the cross when you look at all he did. Okay? But being prepared helps. Now, let's go back to stories about our own depression here. We had the United States back in the 30s, okay? Joseph Kennedy, President Kennedy's father, was a very, very wealthy man. He was out of the stock market before the crash. One of the reasons he's so wealthy today is because he got out of the stock market before the crash. He had money to do things he wanted to do during the Depression. Getty. He had a lot of cash going into the Depression, too. People know about his wealth from oil, but a lot of his wealth came because when the Depression was around, he had a lot of cash. He bought stocks for 10 cents on the dollar. His attitude was, if the country's going broke, it doesn't matter what I have anyway. If it goes back up, it's going back up. You go see that monument to himself that's over there on 405, okay? My point is, it's not too late for us. I know there are challenging times coming, but as Pastor Josh says, they're coming. Let's not turn a blind eye. Let's not be complacent anymore. You know, complacency is what caused challenges during World War II. Neville Chamberlain gave Hitler Czechoslovakia. If you won't go any further than Czechoslovakia, they wouldn't stop him from going to Czechoslovakia. Complacency. 40 million people died. There's a challenge here. We're going to handle on it. Now, the reason I'm talking about the story of Joseph in this message is because we all have people who've been rejecting us and what we need to do to bring them into the kingdom. Everybody agree with that? But there's nobody here that doesn't know people like that, okay? I got my family back in Illinois. They're great people. They're loving people, but they're not as close to God as I would like them to be. I've got cousins. I've got friends. I've got people I work with that are just wonderful people, okay? What's interesting to me about the story of Joseph is, yeah, he saved the world, but they all went into slavery eventually. Except his family. His family came in and was given the best land in Egypt. He saved his family. He saved the people he cared about. Noah brought his family on board the ark. Abraham brought Lot with him. Some people think that was a mistake, but he did it anyway. Okay? My point is, there are people that when the times are challenging, are going to come to us because we're going to be in a position to help them. And when they say, come save me, we're going to say, by all means. And we're going to talk to them about what they really need to do. We can explain to them where their part of the religion is falling down and where the Christ part is more appropriate. But they're going to come to us, but only if we're in a position of power, where God says, dominion over this earth. That's what we have to do. Does that make sense so far? Okay. We cannot be complacent. We must be proactive. His family was freed and they prospered because he set them up for it. Now, Joseph's in his story, no matter what place you're at today financially, okay, he was a slave first, came to prominence. Then he was thrown into prison, came back to be the second most powerful man in Egypt, actually in the world at that time. Okay? I don't care what mistakes we've made. Trust me, we've all blown lots of money. We've all made lots of mistakes in our lives, and we're all looking where we need to come from. It's not where we're from, it's where God will take us to. Amen? Okay? The reason you people are here tonight on a holiday, and that includes you on the internet that I'm speaking to, okay, is because you're the ones that are ready to make the next step. You're the ones to get ready for things coming on. There's going to be a window of time when people be able to come to us, and we're going to help them and get them saved before the government clamps down and puts the chips in them all. And there are going to be strategies God's going to give us to help all along the way. I was very intrigued by the story of the 106-year-old man that died this week, that when he was in part of Europe before Germany took over, he got 669 Jewish children out, and they were alive because of him. He saw the challenges. He was proactive. He arranged their transportation. He was such a modest man, he didn't even tell anybody about it. His wife found some clippings 50 years after the war was over and says, what is this about? And then he told her. And she arranged for those children to come that they could find to come meet him. And they thanked him, threw him a big party. Amen. But he was proactive. He saw Hitler here. He didn't run from that. He said, what can I do to help? Okay. How many people are we going to bring out of the upcoming challenges? Because we're in a position to help. He was a smart man. He had some money. He was able to do some things. In Joseph's time, Joseph went around under the Pharaoh's decree to collect 1/7 of all the grain for 7 years. I'm sure there's a lot of grumbling from the people at that time. Why is he taxing it so much? It's almost 15%. I would like that kind of tax right now, but you know, and they probably didn't think a second thing about it and ate all the rest of the grain. But what if somebody said, you know what? He's collecting that for a reason. I think I'll do the same thing. I'll take my own one. I'll give him the 1/7, and I'm going to take 1/7 for my own and set it aside. Would he have been in a better position when the famine started? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get lean. It's time to get ready for what's coming up. Okay. I believe we're heading for a time in a few years. I don't know how many. Might be 5, might be 10. I don't know. God does, I don't. But this year is going to make the Great Depression look like a picnic. It's going to be challenging. There's a lot more people in the world. Or people don't want to work in the world, but still want their hands out. And the list goes on and on. Okay? So are we going to be ready? Who's going to be ready to do what they need to do? Okay? Well, the first thing you have to do is keep the devourer away from what you've got. It's the very first thing. So if you're not tithing 10% off the top before taxes, please start. God's rebuked the devourer in my life because I've done that. And it doesn't mean I still haven't had challenges and struggles. But I've talked to a lot of people. When they start tithing, how God starts working their lives. Now, challenges are going to come because the devil doesn't want you to keep tithing. You say, you know, you need to fix your car. Or you need to get that refrigerator fixed. Or something else is coming up. I will tithe before I pay taxes. That's how important it is to me. I'll go to the IRS and say, hey, this is where I'm at. But you know what? God's never let me down. I've never missed a payment on anything. Okay? For those of you who don't know, I'm going to quickly tell my story. I was a very successful businessman. I was almost a multimillionaire. When some people embezzled a whole bunch of money from me, and I woke up one day $500,000 in debt with the IRS knocking at my door. I called up my friend Karen, who's now my wife, and says, I have no idea what to do. She says, you got to tithe. I laughed at her. You got to be kidding me. If I can't pay my bills now, how am I supposed to tithe? She goes, you just have to have faith in God. And I did. Long story short, the IRS was taken care of. I salvaged one business out of my businesses. I turned everything around. I walked away scot clean. I had no challenge with the IRS after that again. Thank God. IRS people are really challenging to work with. They have a different focus than most people do. But the bottom line is, because I was a tither, God blessed me. He showed me people who were stealing from me, that I could get out of my business. The list goes on and on. But I tithe, and I've never missed a tithe since then. I'm going to tell you, if I have to go without eating, I will tithe. That's my belief in it. And I'm going to tell you something. 90% with God is worth a lot more than 100% without Him. Okay, it's exponential how much greater it is to have God with you in these times. And I want a long-standing time with Him going forward. Now, everybody knows how to spell God, G-O-D. One of the things God stands for is get out of debt. Get those charge cards paid off. Stop making the minimum payment. Start making a little bit more toward it. Knock it down. Okay? When tough times come, you don't want to have those guys pulling your money out of your checking account before you get a chance to it. Okay? They'll do it. I was a collector of household finance for a year. It was one of the toughest jobs I ever had, one of the best jobs I ever had, too, because I learned so much about how people are. People have a lot of debt. People shouldn't be borrowing money for stupid things, you know? I'm not saying don't have some fun. I'm not saying, you know, but ask the Holy Spirit what you're supposed to do before you do it. You want to take a trip to go see some relatives? Holy Spirit, can I do this? If He says yes, go for it. If He says no, don't. But set up a plan to get yourself out of debt. The third thing you need is start putting some money away so that you can start investing in yourself. If you look at the parable of the talents, you'll see there where God told people to start trading and making money. Okay? We all need to do that. You need to have some kind of a income stream besides the government. and it's something besides your job. Because if you're working, you are merely a paycheck away from being cut loose in this economy. Okay? Sony, for example, just said they're moving out of Southern California. They're moving to Texas, I think it is. A lot of those people are not going to have jobs in a couple years as they process that move. Okay? You see a lot of changes like that. Johnson & Johnson here in California has moved most of their operations down to Mexico. Those people are being laid off as we speak. Okay? But those who are smart and put money away and have got something going on, develop an ongoing, never-ceasing, ever-increasing income stream, are going to be okay. The fourth thing to do is start to give offerings above your tithe. I look at offerings as like fertilizer on my plants. It makes the tithe, makes my investments grow faster and more. Okay. And if the 1/7 was good enough for the people of Egypt, then I suggest start looking to get to that level. It's about 15%, like 14.28% or something like that. But start looking to get to 15% put away into an ongoing investment account. And find somebody who knows their business to help you manage it so you know what you're doing. Somebody who's Christian, preferably. In fact, not preferably, I'd really recommend you find somebody who's Christian because you're really going to need that coming forward. Who really spends their time working on this and understanding this. Now, on July 3rd, 1776, the signers of the Declaration were faced with the biggest decision of their lives. They were about to sign a paper the next day that was going to change the world at great risk. If they had failed, the signers would have been executed. No question, the crown would have killed them as traitors. Okay? Their properties would have been confiscated. Now, these were wealthy men. They had huge farms. They had lots of land. You know, they were very wealthy men that could do this. And they didn't not know what would happen to their families. What would happen to their children? They didn't know. But for the greater glory, they took all that risk on. Thank God for them, they did, because we're succeeded here today. And I'm asking you to risk some money in the kingdom and some money on investment accounts. I'm not asking you to put your lives on the line right now. That may come in the future. Don't misunderstand me. I believe when things get tougher, you're going to see a lot more of that. I believe when the real challenges come, it's going to be like the catacomb days. But until that time, let's get as strong as we can. Let's do what we can do. Let's be proactive here. I want God to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear you've been weighed, measured, and found wanting because I didn't do my job right. But I want you to go from the fear concept of what this message is bringing out into the positive, what this message is bringing out. That there is time for us to do what we need to do to prepare. And with listening to the Holy Spirit, He's going to teach us everything we need to do. But who's going to be ready? Who's going to be ready? Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm a financial advisor. I deal in the stock market all the time. Okay? And Pastor Josh asked me, what's the best kind of investments for people to go into? Well, first of all, if you have a mutual fund, you need to get out of a mutual fund. Mutual funds are a ticking time bomb. The reason is mutual funds, by law, have to maintain 75 to 80% of their money into the investments. They can't go into cash. So if we suddenly have a correction, they can't sell out. Okay? So you want to own your own investments that you can sell, but they can't stop you from selling. And you can go to cash anytime you want to. Okay? You want to invest in companies that are needed no matter what the economy is. You know, what companies are going to be strong no matter what the economy is? Food companies are going to be strong. Okay? And you got to find the best ones of that. You know, I would believe that people pay for these cell phones no matter what. I believe that's something that will be around regardless. So communication will be strong. Okay? Give you a couple ideas. But look for the ones that have low debt, have positive, strong cash flows, pay a good dividend, and have some kind of a competitive edge that they can't get taken out. Now, if you look at Greece, where they have $66 a day they can live on until they reopen up the banks, and that's not much when rent was due on the first, okay? When you start building up some cash so you're ready to go, In addition, you need some gold and silver coins stuck safely away in your place in your home somewhere, so that when times get tough, you've got something to work with. Okay? I was praying, the Lord said, people need to have about 6 months of cash in a safe in their house for when times get rough. Now, this is a few years away. I don't expect you to do that tomorrow, but you need to start building up to that. What are your annual expenses? Start putting $100 away so you have something ready until God tells you when to do more. Okay? I believe everyone here and everyone online is here for such a time as this, just as Esther. I'm sorry if this is a little draggy of a message today, and I'm sorry for that. And I know I usually like to have a happier, more joyful message, but this is what the Lord put on my heart today, and I'm hoping that you're taking heed to the warnings that are being given. We can be ready. We can. And God gave this warning, just as he warned Joseph, that he could take care of people. And that's what we all want. Amen? Politically, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not happy with either party, to be honest with you. They both have said one thing and done the other. But I do know that somewhere along the line, if the Christians don't step up and start saying no, yeah, as Pastor Sarah says, no, we're going down a wrong path. Now, that being said, let's look at the good path. Good path is we have God on our side. They don't. The good path is that we're going to have plans for us to do. They don't. They're scrambling right now. They have no idea how they're going to do all the things they want to do. Okay. The good news is the Holy Spirit talks to each and every one of us. And we need to encourage that more. Hear him every step of the way. And Pastor Joshua's been teaching the way how to do this. Lord knows I've been hearing the Holy Spirit a lot more than I was even 6 months ago. Because I've been following the teachings of ABC. You know, do those affirmations. Pray in tongues for an hour a day. Is it tough? Yes, it is. Are there times you don't get it all done? Yes, then I repent and I go back the next day and start over again. I don't feel guilty if I haven't succeeded, but I repent and I start over the next day. And one guy says, that's an awful lot of work, man. I don't think that works work. I said, you know what? Go read Proverbs 31 for me. And that's where the woman does all the things that she does. She finds a field and she does the yarn and she does the whole thing and so forth. He says, yeah, yeah, and for the guys, he wants more. He expects us to do more than what he told the women to in Proverbs 31. We're supposed to be leaders, we're supposed to take charge. And yes, this is our time. Now, being the sports fan that I am, the best sports stories are the comebacks. The best sports stories are the guys down 38 to nothing, they come back and win the game. The best story is like Floyd Patterson, my favorite boxer. He got knocked down 7 times. The reporter asked him, how does it feel to get knocked down 7 times? He says, I'm not the guy that got knocked down 7 times. I'm the guy that got up 7 times. Okay. Amen? Amen? All right? So we're all challenged in times. I understand that. But our victories are going to be our greatest stories. Our testimony is going to help the other people come around when the time is right. This is a call for salvation into the kingdom. This is a call for saving the people who aren't walking the walk that need to walk. This is a call that makes us a very unique and special group of people been properly trained, properly set up for such a time as this. Every one of us can talk about testimonies. They don't have any idea how great they are. They haven't seen somebody raised from the dead. We have. They haven't seen the medical miracles that we have. We have. And the financial breakthroughs that are coming right now because of us who are going to start doing everything we need to do and ask the Holy Spirit to bless every investment we do and to lead us and guide us in everything we need to do will be exponential. And they will come to say, how are you doing that? We're going to say, the Holy Spirit. You want to know about him? And we'll start you on a path. And if you're willing to do it, you'll be ready for when the times get really tough. And they will say yes, and some will say no. Those who say no, at least you've given them the opportunity that they wouldn't have had. Amen? So in the name of Jesus, I pray that everybody here takes this message as a message of hope, as a message of joy, that you know what? We have victory in our hands. We have victory over all these challenges coming up. We don't have to be complacent. We can be proactive. And God rewards our proactivity. Even if we're doing it wrong, He will reward you doing something wrong more than doing nothing at all. He can correct you when you're doing something wrong. Paul is the perfect example. The murderer, the terrorist, doing something wrong, but he was doing something. God got a hold of him and says, no, you're doing it wrong. Let's do it right. Look what happened there. 2/3 of our Bibles because of him. I want to be the guy that can shake a poison snake off into the fire. I'm going to tell you that right now. I think that's cool. I think that's cool. I always remember that story because when Paul was on the island of Malta, again, shipwrecked, challenges galore, he kicks a snake off his hand into the fire, and they tell the governor of Malta what happened. He goes, he prays for the governor's son. The governor's son is healed. And he goes to Rome on the governor's private yacht. He wasn't in chains anymore. That's the way to show up. You know, have your Gulfstream 5 land and get off that way. That takes a notice and attention. And because of that, he went to a private house before he went into jail. He had a lot of time to write what he wrote. Amen? So again, I'm trying to be encouraging, not discouraging. I know it came across a little different than what you usually see from me. Please forgive me for that, but I knew no other way to bring this message out. But it's what the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart. But look at the good side. Let's do what we need to do. Okay? I don't care how bad it looks in the natural. We've all got something that we can give. Start going forward with it. God can make it exponentially great. Okay? Isaiah planted a field. Got a 100-fold return. Okay? Do the math. $1 times 100 is 100. Times 100 is 10,000. Times 100 is 1,000,000. It doesn't take that long to get things going at a 100-fold return. Amen? So, I'd like to pray now if I could. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, and glorify your holy name. I thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for this wonderful, wonderful country that is still the greatest country in the world. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. But as we go forward now, as we know there are challenges with this country and challenges with the economies of the world, we know that you are our leader and our guider. The Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us on how to do things so that during the upcoming times of famine, we can be the ones that can help people. And through this, we can bring more and more people to know you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.